War is hard. It's vicious. It's brutal. It's unforgiving. And yes, we all have pain and anger.
Top U.S. military leaders comment on Afghanistan. It's Friday, September 3rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, media left behind in Afghanistan. Refugees seek new homes in Turkey and Australia. Hurricane ravages southern and eastern United States. Remembering the animals. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin was the first cabinet member to take questions from reporters since the end of America's longest war in Afghanistan, joined at a Pentagon briefing by the top U.S. general. As VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports, the United States is not completely done with Afghanistan.
Pride, pain, and anger on display at the Pentagon after the last U.S. troops left Afghanistan.
Now, we have just concluded the largest air evacuation of civilians in American history. It was heroic. It was historic.
War is hard. It's vicious. It's brutal. It's unforgiving. And yes, we all have pain and anger. And when we see what has unfolded over the last 20 years and over the last 20 days, that creates pain and anger.
A State Department official admitting that in addition to more than 100 American citizens left behind, a, quote, majority of special immigrant visa applicants were also not evacuated, a group consisting of Afghans who helped the United States and their families. The Taliban again control Afghanistan, with General Mark Milley acknowledging the U.S. might need to coordinate with them further.
This is a ruthless group from the past, and whether or not they change remains to be seen. And as far as our dealings with them at that airfield or in the past year or so, in war, you do what you must in order to reduce risk to mission and force, not what you necessarily want to do.
Any possibility of coordination against ISIS-K with them?
It's possible.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin vowed revenge against the Islamic State Afghanistan affiliate at a time of America's choosing. The terror group staged a suicide attack against Kabul's airport in the last days of the withdrawal, killing 13 U.S. service members and at least 170 others. The Taliban are bitter enemies of the Islamic State offshoot that staged the attack, but the White House is in no hurry to pursue an alliance.
There's no rush to recognition from the United States or any country we've spoken with around the world. It will be very dependent on their behavior and whether they deliver on what the expectations are of the global community.
Expectations include letting Americans and at-risk Afghans leave and respecting the human rights of women, minorities, and journalists. Carla Babb, VOA News, the Pentagon.
There's so much more in our top story as it continues to evolve and develop. Follow it on Twitter at VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook as well and at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Rights groups fear for safety of defecting Afghan pilots. Diversity visa winners stuck in Afghanistan after U.S. withdrawal. Uyghurs from Afghanistan fear deportation to China. Australia marks 70th anniversary of key U.S. military alliance. A United Nations study says weather disasters increased fivefold in the last 50 years. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found daily at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and our website. That's voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. With U.S. troops gone from Afghanistan and Kabul under Taliban control, hundreds of journalists, many of them women, are seeking sanctuary. VOA's Isha Sarai explores this story.
Barely a month ago, Storai Karimi and her husband were reporting from the front lines of Herat. Today, they are hiding in Pakistan, having fled Taliban rule.
Taliban
International media organizations say getting their Afghan colleagues to safety has been a difficult task. The International Women's Media Foundation says the press freedom community is fielding thousands of requests.
This is certainly, in the time that we've been doing emergency assistance, the biggest, most complicated, most difficult operation to try to support journalists who are in immediate danger of losing their lives that we've ever been involved with.
Even those who managed to flee say their lives are still in danger. As journalists try to find safe passage out of Afghanistan or go into hiding for their own safety, many fear an impending blackout of information across the country.
It's a really terrible conundrum, right? Which is that if the journalists leave Afghanistan, then nobody knows what's happening inside. But if they don't leave, they may not be left alive to actually do their reporting.
With U.S. and NATO troops gone, the concern turns to those left behind. Isha Sarai, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, Afghan refugees seek new homes. Happening now in Asia, North Korea has requested that 3 million doses of Chinese-made COVID-19 vaccine it was allocated be sent to other countries experiencing severe outbreaks, according to UNICEF. COVID-19 Vaccine Global Access, or COVAX, is an international vaccine distribution program targeting low-income nations. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us on VOA Asia. Among the growing numbers of Afghans arriving in Turkey after fleeing the Taliban are those who fought alongside NATO forces. As Dorian Jones reports for VOA from Istanbul, they are now looking for help from the countries they once worked for.
Yusuf, an Afghan military helicopter pilot, shows photos of the NATO forces he fought alongside against the Taliban. That collaboration, he says, made him a target, forcing him to flee to Istanbul just before the Taliban seized Kabul. Now he's seeking a visa to one of the NATO countries.
Our advisors, they were from British, they were from US, they were from Germans. We worked shoulder by shoulder in making some plan against of insurgents. Right now, we are in the situations we can't stay in Afghanistan because all our database, our info, there's in the hand of the Taliban.
Listening to Yusuf is his friend, also an Afghan pilot, who does not want to be identified. He came to Istanbul 3 months ago after receiving Taliban death threats. Showing his numerous visa applications to NATO countries, he says Yusuf could be in for a long wait.
And I tried Germany, and then I tried Canada. I still haven't got luck with any. I've worked with Germans, I've worked with British. We worked side by side, planning missions, doing missions. But when there's a bad time for you, if you don't get a help from a friend or a colleague, it's very disappointing and very frustrating.
The Afghan pilots live in Istanbul's Zeytinburnu district, dubbed by locals Afghan Burnu because of its large Afghan population. Many here fled the Afghan conflict years ago. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is ruling out taking in any new wave of Afghans, saying the country is already hosting nearly 5 million refugees, mainly from the Syrian civil war. The Turkish government is even refusing to allow NATO countries to use Turkey to process Afghans seeking visas.
The Turkish government are not registering them inside Turkey, or they can't apply for asylum inside Turkey. So when they are living in Turkey, they are living as illegal refugee, as illegal people.
The two pilots are staying on tourist visas, which will soon expire. In the last few days, Yusuf's friend got some good news, that his wife and three children were evacuated from Kabul, and the United States is now looking into his case. But Yusuf thinks about his wife and two children, still trapped in Kabul.
I'm just thinking about my family. If they are safe, I'm safe right now. First of all, I think about their life, nothing else.
While neither man knows when or if they will leave Istanbul and be reunited with their families, both say they are lucky to have escaped the Taliban. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. After suspending the use of 1.63 million doses of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine over contamination concerns last week, Japan is now recalling those doses. Still, Japanese officials said they do not think the few metal particles discovered posed a health risk. You'll find this and all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, Australia's recently appointed advisor on Afghan refugees fleeing the Taliban said the exodus from the country poses unprecedented resettlement challenges for people who work with refugees. We hear more from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
Australia said it would offer sanctuary to 3,000 people fleeing Afghanistan by June 2020. A new advisory panel made up of Australian Afghan community leaders, along with refugee and settlement experts, will help them chart a new life. Australian Immigration Minister Alex Hawke said in a statement Monday, the first priority would be safeguarding the mental and physical well-being of the evacuees who've endured experiences of torture and trauma. Many would also have the anguish of leaving relatives behind in Afghanistan. The advisory panel on Australia's resettlement of Afghan nationals will liaise with the government and will be in place for at least a year. Its co-chair, Paris Aristotle, said the residual trauma of those fleeing Taliban-controlled Afghanistan will be amongst the highest levels of any refugees Australia has ever taken in.
We've never had to resettle groups out of a crisis in the middle of a pandemic before. One of the critical issues for people in this context is they'll have to go into quarantine on arrival for 14 days. That'll be unfamiliar to them on top of having escaped in very dangerous and chaotic circumstances.
Both Canada and Britain have said they would allow 20,000 Afghans to resettle. Australia will grant safe haven visas to 3,000 people, and the places will come from existing quotas of available humanitarian visas, and there'll be no increase in overall numbers. However, Prime Minister Scott Morrison is hopeful more will follow.
We will do, we think, at least 3,000 this year. Well, I actually believe it will be more, based on, you know, the work that we're already doing. The challenge there will be how people actually get out of Afghanistan.
The Australian military rescued more than 4,000 people from Kabul Airport since the start of the US-led evacuation mission, which is now over. Between 2019 and 2020, Australia granted refugee status to just under 15,000 people. Most came from Iraq, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Myanmar. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, Indian authorities cracked down on public movement and imposed a near-total communications blackout in disputed Kashmir after the death of Syed Ali Gilani, a top separatist leader who became the emblem of the region's defiance against New Delhi. Gilani died late Wednesday at age 92. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, power has been restored to about 11,000 residents of hurricane-ravaged New Orleans, but it will likely be days before the rest of the city and almost 1 million customers in Louisiana have full power. Remnants of the storm were unusually severe and resulted in a few deaths as areas from Washington, D.C. to New York experienced heavy damage from flooding and tornadoes. VOA's Mariama Diallo has more on the devastation left by Hurricane Ida.
It is heartbreaking.
James Serigna lost both his boat and his home in the bayou town of Golden Meadow.
They sunk during Hurricane Ida. Busted the windows out, and the rain poured in, and it's made it sink. You saw us beating on the bottoms. I don't know what kind of damage I have until I pick it up.
Standing in what is left of his home, he remembers where everything used to be.
There's a living room and bathroom back here, bedrooms over here.
Ida made landfall on Sunday as a Category 4 hurricane, 16 years ago to the day after Hurricane Katrina left more than 1,800 people dead. After Katrina flooded his home, commercial crabber Roy Comardell thought he could protect his house better by building his own levee. But it was a losing battle.
I thought I had it, but when the eye came, that's when it topped the levee. This is the height of it here.
A foot of water poured into his house. For now, he's not sure when he'll be able to get back to work, but he's trying to stay positive.
Hope and pray. But, I mean, I guess we're going to have to live a little bit on our savings. Depleted.
66-year-old resident Algon Greenberry also had decided to ride it out.
It was rough. The wind, mostly the wind, you know, I mean, it came through. It was knocking trees down, and it come through pretty rough.
Inside the house, there is running water, but no electricity. Without air conditioning, Greenberry says he can tolerate the heat and humidity during the day, but it gets unbearable at night. He says he's not going anywhere for now and is taking it one day at a time. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Brianna Mariah is the founder of We Speak Model Agency, and she believes models should reflect the world. Her agency finds and promotes a unique and diverse group of people. Karina Berfrigian has her story.
Over the past few decades, modeling has expanded to include people of different ages, races, and sizes. But for Brianna Mariah, founder of We Speak Model Agency, agencies still do not embrace enough diversity. So in 2012, she opened her own agency despite some skepticism.
When I started We Speak, I remember a very distinct meeting where I had feedback from a peer and she was like, yeah, that's not going to work. Your board is too all over the place. There's already plus size agencies, like that's already a thing. And I kept doing what I was doing. And I was like, this isn't a plus size agency. This is where we all come together and celebrate each other.
Today, she works with over 130 models of different builds, heights, genders, and races. There are models with Down syndrome and with skin conditions, and they have all found their way to magazine covers, ads, and catwalks, making a statement about equality and body positivity. Washington, D.C.-based model Danielle Sauter says it's a good time to build diversity in the fashion industry.
Having more diverse models of all heights, of all sizes, of all shapes, of all genders, of all races is, you know, very, it's really starting to flourish more than it has ever been.
Sauter says social networks have helped recruiters find new and diverse models for ad campaigns. She credits her Instagram blog for helping to launch her career in 2014 when she joined a Washington, D.C. modeling agency. But some more conventional models say they are now being criticized and accused of promoting unrealistic expectations. Vlada Ryslykova is one of the most popular Russian models in the West.
There is a new imbalance taking place. I am the way I am, and people are now criticizing me for making others feel uncomfortable in their own bodies. So I am to blame for simply being me? It is a complex and loaded issue, and of course I'd love to have some balance.
Some say one example is the decision by popular lingerie brand Victoria's Secret to stop working with longtime models known as angels.
I don't think that they should have canceled the angels. I think that they should have made them more inclusive. I think that they should have kept the program. And, you know, when you look at, you know, Victoria's Secret has always been very, like, sexy. Why can't all people be sexy? Look at Fenty, for example, Rihanna's line. They've done a fantastic job of all sizes, all genders.
Victoria's Secret models now range from actress Priyanka Chopra to professional soccer player Megan Rapinoe.
I like the tendency to take interest in the personality of the model. It's not a pretty picture anymore. Now people want to know more about the model, and it's awesome.
A changing industry for changing times. Karina Befredjian for VOA News, Washington.
We end our program with another story of evacuation from Afghanistan, but not one you might expect to hear about. The attempted rescue of dozens of veterinary staff and hundreds of animals from a British animal rescue charity. Their plight has led to a heated dispute between the charity and the British government, as Henry Ridgewell shares from London.
Pen Farthing served as a British Royal Marine for 22 years. In 2007, he set up an animal sanctuary in Kabul called Nowzad, named after the first dog he rescued. The charity expanded, eventually employing 25 local staff, including three of Afghanistan's first female veterinarians. Farthing described their emotions when the Taliban seized Kabul on August 15th.
There may be reprisals because, you know, obviously we're a foreign organisation. We've helped soldier rescues in the past, so soldier rescuing dogs. And as I said about the women, you know, what's going to happen to them? You know, are they going to be forced, because all our women, young women are single, so they can be forced to marry some Taliban fighter and they just live in the home, you know, having these children? I dread to think.
Farthing initially refused to leave Afghanistan without his staff and the hundreds of animals under his care, a mission he named Operation Ark. His cause was followed closely in the British media as a dispute erupted between the charity and the government. Defence Secretary Ben Wallace gave this interview August 24th.
I genuinely believe that they will be allowed to move forward after, you know, at a later date when that airport opens. But, you know, frankly, I have to prioritise people at the moment over pets.
The charity chartered its own plane thanks to a donation from a US-based investor. Several days later, the British government authorised the plane to land and approved the evacuation of the 68 Nowzad staff and dependents and the animals. But the Taliban refused to let them through. Wildlife activist Dominic Dyer has been assisting the campaign from Britain.
And what Penn had was a letter from Downing Street effectively guaranteeing entry for these 68 people. And the Taliban said, well, we don't care what Boris Johnson thinks or says or his involvement. We care what President Biden has decided. And he said, no visas, no entry, and you're not coming in with your people. That was the conversation he had. It was the delays with the Ministry of Defence to get the flight authorization that led to that problem. Because if we'd have got those people to that gate 3 or 4 days earlier with the list we needed to guarantee their entry, with the flight authorization to land the aircraft, we wouldn't have hit that buffer of a change in American rules that basically stopped him getting his people through.
Britain's Defence Ministry did not respond to VOA requests for comment. Farthing escorted his staff away from the airport back through the streets of Kabul. He appealed directly to Taliban leaders via Twitter. On Saturday, the former Marine and his animals were allowed into the airport without his staff. They arrived back in Britain Sunday morning. Pen Farthing has rejoined his wife, who was evacuated from Afghanistan to her home country of Norway. With the Taliban now in full control, the fate of the Nowzad staff and their families remains uncertain. The 140 dogs and 60 cats evacuated from Kabul are now in quarantine in Britain. Nowzad says there have been many offers of new homes for the animals. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
That's our program for today and this week. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Continue with us online. You'll find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.